Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
Yep, another tough week for everybody on Wall Street. Dow off 4.1, S&P off almost 5%, NASDAQ down 5.5. The international index, the EFI, off 1.8. 10-year Treasury, 1.9% positive for the year. And oil, what a pullback, right? Oil traded $85 this week, only up 13% year to date. I mean, I guess we'll take a 13, not bad, but remember, it was up almost 40% not too long ago. And bonds are off 12% year to date. So what should you do? Well, first of all, Tuesday was a big wake-up call. It was a tough week. So we had a very, very hot CPI, Consumer Price Index report that came out. And for the second time in less than 3 weeks, the market didn't like it. And this is what I call a binary event. You had the market rally up over the last 3 weeks, then Tuesday had some bad information, and all of a sudden, boom. Market reaction Tuesday was similar to what we saw Friday. Remember after Chairman Powell spoke and said that he was going to keep raising rates more than everybody thought, and the market didn't like that. So this is what you have happening right now. Is the Fed's talking about higher rates, more persistent inflation, and that's what we got Tuesday with that CPI report. The S&P 500 gives back the majority of the recent bounce that came over the past few weeks. So inflation is just not going away. And this hot CPI report Tuesday, the question I got this week is that a bearish game changer? Is things going to get a lot worse, Mr. Sandman? The answer is, I don't think so. And here's why. First, it didn't materially alter the rate hike expectation overall. This week, the big event's going to be Wednesday as the Fed announces what they're going to do. I'm expecting a 100 basis point raise. That's 1%. Additionally, the market now is pricing in a greater chance of a 75 basis point hike in November before it was 50. But most importantly, that hot CPI number on Tuesday didn't alter the outlook for what we call the terminal rate from the Fed. And prior to the report, the terminal rate was right around 4.125. After the Tuesday event, the futures are now showing that rate to be 4.25 to 4.50. So again, that's about a 25 basis point hike, quarter of 1%, right? Don't lose your breakfast because of that. It's not so bad. Second, while it shows inflation is sticky, it didn't invalidate the idea that inflation has peaked. And so let's look at inflation, shall we? The three inflation reports this past week that I looked at all had the same conclusion. Core inflation, it's resilient. It's more resilient than the market had thought. And we saw this in all the reports. The core reading, excluding food and energy, was hotter than expected. And the reason that markets seeing this is because inflation is distributed throughout the economy. If you go out to dinner, if you're flying on an airplane, you're renting a hotel room, you're paying for your insurance, you're renting an apartment, you're paying for medical treatment, what are you noticing? Costs more money. Absolutely. A year ago, it didn't. Not as much as that. So the hope this summer that as the oil prices started to decline, that all our prices would drop as well. Well, that's just not really happening. And so this inflation phenomenon right now isn't commodity driven. And I'm going to say that inflation was a problem before the Russia-Ukraine war, which caused oil to rise. Inflation is a problem. And now that those commodities have returned to normal levels, I think the main reason for inflation right now is this. There's too much money still in the system chasing too few goods. What am I talking about? Look at the money supply. This is called the M2. It was $15.5 trillion in January 21. It's just under $22 trillion now. So that's obviously higher. There's almost 50% more money right now in circulation than there was about 2 years ago. Also, right now, there are twice as many job openings about 11.5 million, as there are people actually looking for jobs. The unemployment rate, 3.6%. That's full employment. S&P 500 was just under $3,400 in early 2021. Sorry, 3,400 points. In early 2021. Now, it's up 20% more in just about 2 years. So again, the market's elevated. And in January 2020, the average price of a home seen through the Case-Shiller index was 214. Guess what it is now? 306. It's nearly a 50% appreciation in home prices. So my point is, rates have risen sharply and the economy has lost momentum, but we still have a lot of liquidity and cash in the marketplace. And the supply chain remains challenged. Listen to this, the container index, you know all those containers floating around in the bay out there? They have this index called the Drewry World Container Index. It monitors the dollar cost for a 40-foot container. $10,000 in 2021, it's $5,400 now, but what was it pre-pandemic? $1,800. So the point is, things have improved, but they're still not back to normal. And for inflation to really change, I need to see reduced demand, meaning a slowdown, people spending, and or an improved supply. And until we see China fully reopen, that's going to be a problem. So what do you do now? Where should you go now? Well, in the near term right now, bonds are pretty attractive. I'm seeing some really good rates this week. I'm looking at the 1 year, 18 month. And as those rates continue to get more attractive, you can get almost 4% now from a treasury. Technology stocks are going to get hit. Anything that borrows money is going to get hit. So you're going to want to move out of those if you haven't already. And until we see this pattern of lower inflation established, equity is going to be in trouble. Longer term, for those of you holding on to your things longer, don't panic. There could be some more downside. As I said, 3,900 was a support level on the S&P 500. We got through that this week. We got down below that. So the next stop's 3,600. Next stop below that's 3,400. The bulk of adjustments, though, I think in the valuations of stocks, meaning this movement, I think is behind us. And if you look at the last 26 years, the price-to-earnings ratio have contracted 24% on average during sizable market downturns and or bear markets, which we're in right now. So right now, you're off about 26% in the S&P 500, and I think this adequately compares to the history of what's happened in the past. Stocks look forward, and historically, they tend to bottom before the data starts to improve. The average bear market since World War II has lasted about 11 months. You're 9 months in right now. This year's painful drawdown in both bonds and stocks has improved longer term, but the starting point in both bond yields and equity values are now very different than they were in December. So the bottom line is, with the Fed firmly on the brakes, they're pressing those brakes, they're trying to slow down. The macroeconomic backdrop is challenging, and you have to be patient. We talk about this all the time when you drive a car. Be patient. Don't get on that gas too early. Markets might stay within this range for a while, but eventually they're going to recover and they're going to start to move more upwards. But you have to be patient and just wait for it and make sure you're positioned properly. That's about it. Next week, the big news is going to be the Fed. They're going to announce on Wednesday what they're going to do. I'm expecting the 1% raise. Anything less than that, expect a little bit of a rally.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569.
Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.